Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Zechus Baba Metzia, Daf Chav Zayin, the second parak, Eilu Metzius. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Afa Simul Haisibucho Eilu. The garment in the Pasuk was also included in all these items which the Torah commanded to return, and it was written in the Pasuk to teach Masimum Yuchedus, just as a garment is unique, Sheish Ba Simanim Yesh LaTovim, in that it has identifying marks and has claimants, meaning it's generally identifiable and it usually has an owner, since it's man-made, so too any item with identifying marks and claimants must be announced. Rav explains why the Torah wrote other examples. Chamor, donkey, the Pasuk teaches, Da'afil chamor b'simani ha'ukav, that even a donkey should be returned by their owner, merely providing simani with the saddle, which is sufficient proof that he owns the donkey as well. Shor, ox, in the Pasuk teaches, Da'afil gizas navo, that even the shearing of its tail must be returned, and he initially explains that se, lamb, in the Pasuk teaches, l'gizosav, that its shearings must be returned. But the Gemara objects that if one must return even the tail shearing, certainly the more substantial lamb shearings must be returned. Rava concedes that it's difficult to explain what the word se teaches. Point number two, a braisa darshans, asher tova, that which is lost, pratla aveda she'en bo sheva pruta. This excludes a lost item that is not worth a pruta, which is not classified as a lost item. Rabbi Yudah derives this from the word umatzasa, and you have found it, requiring it to be classified as a found item. Abai says, mashma'uz darshin ikabinayo. The difference between them is their interpretation of the drushes, but there's no practical difference. The Gemara explains how each tana interprets the other tana's pasuk. Rava says they disagree when the item must be worth a pruta. The Tanakhama requires it to be a pruta when it's found, and Rav Yudah requires it to be worth a pruta when it's lost. The Gemara argues that each Tana should agree that the other phrase also requires a pruta's worth at the other time, and concludes, pruta shehukri v'huzl v'chaz v'hukri ikabanayo. The practical difference between them is an item worth a pruta which depreciated, and then appreciated, and was worth a pruta when it was lost, and then found, but not in the interim. Rabbi Yudah requires it to be worth a pruta from the time of loss until it is found. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Simanim d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? Is the law to return lost objects based on providing identifying marks biblical or rabbinical? The nafka mina is whether we would return a get to a woman based on her providing simanim. Since this would enable her to remarry and it's not a mere monetary question, it would only be returned to her if it's biblically accepted evidence. Numerous proofs are offered and deflected. The Gemara notes, however, that a simon muvhak, a unique identifying mark, is definitely sufficient even mid the Raisa. The Gemara explains if simanim are not the Raisa, why the rabbis instituted to return items based on a simon. The owner himself prefers that it be returned with a simon, although it risks someone else taking it unlawfully because he realizes he does not have aim to identify the item as his. Since it's likely that he's the only one who knows its simanim, it's in his best interest that the item be returned to the one who provides its simanim. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Afa simul haisibuchol kol elu. The garment was also included in all these items which the Torah commanded to return, and it was written in the Pasuk to teach, Masimum yuchedus, just as a garment is unique, Sheishba simanim yeshua tovin, in that it has identifying marks and has claimants, meaning it's generally identifiable and it usually has an owner since it's man-made, so too any item with identifying marks and claimants must be announced. Rav explains why the Torah wrote other examples. Chamor, donkey, the Pasuk teaches, Da'afil chamor b'simani ha'ukav, that even a donkey should be returned by their owner, merely providing simani with the saddle, which is sufficient proof that he owns the donkey as well. Shor, ox, in the Pasuk teaches, Da'afil gizas navo, that even the shearing of its tail must be returned, and he initially explains that se, lamb, in the Pasuk teaches, l'gizosav, that its shearings must be returned. But the Gemara objects that if one must return even the tail shearing, certainly the more substantial lamb shearings must be returned. Rava concedes that it's difficult to explain what the word se teaches. Point number two, a braisa darshans, asher tova, that which is lost, pratla aveda she'en bo sheva pruta. This excludes a lost item that is not worth a pruta, which is not classified as a lost item. Rabbi Yudah derives this from the word umatzasa, and you have found it, requiring it to be classified as a found item. Abai says, mashma'uz darshin ikabinayo. The difference between them is their interpretation of the drushes, but there's no practical difference. The Gemara explains how each tana interprets the other tana's pasuk. Rava says they disagree when the item must be worth a pruta. The Tanakhama requires it to be a pruta when it's found, and Rav Yudah requires it to be worth a pruta when it's lost. The Gemara argues that each Tana should agree that the other phrase also requires a pruta's worth at the other time, and concludes, pruta shehukri v'huzl v'chaz v'hukri ikabanayo. The practical difference between them is an item worth a pruta which depreciated, and then appreciated, and was worth a pruta when it was lost, and then found, but not in the interim. Rabbi Yudah requires it to be worth a pruta from the time of loss until it is found. And point number three, the Gemara asks, Simanim Daraisa or the Rabban? Is the law to return lost objects based on providing identifying marks biblical or rabbinical? The Nafkamina is whether we would return a get to a woman based on her providing Simanim. Since this would enable her to remarry and it's not a mere monetary question, it would only be returned to her if it's biblically accepted evidence. Numerous proofs are offered and deflected. The Gemara notes, however, that a Simon Muvhak, a unique identifying mark, is definitely sufficient even with the Raisa. The Gemara explains if Simanim are not the Raisa, why the rabbis instituted to return items based on a Simon. The owner himself prefers that it be returned with a Simon, although it risks someone else taking it unlawfully because he realizes he does not have aim to identify the item as his. Since it's likely that he's the only one who knows it's Simanim, it's in his best interest that the item be returned to the one who provides it Simanim. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Chav Zayin, and our standard Simon is a kazoo, which is a toy musical instrument that children play with that makes a buzzing sound. So here goes. The traveling kazoo quartet, which was relieved when their lead kazooer's donkey was returned based on identifying its saddle, was even happier when one kazoo was returned because it was worth a pruta at the times it was lost and then found, but could not agree if Simanim were deraisa or derabanan. Once again, some motion. The traveling kazoo quartet, kazoo, that must more enough, Chav Zayin. The traveling kazoo quartet, which was relieved when their lead kazooer's donkey was returned based on identifying its saddle, which reminds us, Rav explains why the Torah wrote chamor in the pasuk. It teaches, dafil chamor b'simani ha'ukaf, that even a donkey should be returned by the owner merely providing simaning of the saddle, which is sufficient proof that he owns the donkey as well. So, the traveling kazoo quartet, which was relieved when their lead kazooer's donkey was returned based on identifying its saddle, was even happier when one kazoo was returned because it was worth a prut at the times it was lost and then found, which reminds us two sources are brought excluding lost items worth less than a pruta. The Gemara argues that each time should agree that the other phrase also requires a pruta's worth at the other time when it's lost or when it's found, and concludes pruta shehukra v'huzla v'chazi v'hukra ika banayu. The practical difference between them is an item worth a pruta, which depreciated and then appreciated, and was worth a pruta when it was lost and then found, but not in the interim. Rebuta requires it to be worth a pruta from the time of loss until it is found. So the traveling kazoo quartet, which was relieved when their lead kazooer's donkey was returned based on identifying its saddle, was even happier when one kazoo was returned because it was worth a pruta at the times it was lost and then found, but could not agree if simanim were deraisa or derabanan, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, simanim deraisa or derabanan, is the law to return lost objects based on providing simanim biblical or rabbinical? The nafkamina is whether we would return a get to a woman based on her providing simanim. Since this would enable her to remarry and it's not a mere monetary question, it would only be returned to her if it's biblically accepted evidence. Numerous proofs are offered and deflected. So once again, the traveling kazoo quartet, which was relieved when their lead kazooer's donkey was returned based on identifying its saddle, was even happier when one kazoo was returned because it was worth a pruta at the times it was lost and then found, but could not agree if simanim were deraisa or derabanan. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Dav chaf gimel. So the simmer dav chaf gimel is kugelach. So here goes. The absent-minded kugelach enthusiast, kugelach, that must more on dav chaf gimel. The absent-minded kugelach enthusiast, who easily identified the bread he lost near the bakery because one of his kugelach had fallen into the dough and gotten baked in by itself, which reminds us, there's machlokes of simen haba me'ilah, a simen which may have come about on its own, is a legitimate simen since the owner may be unaware of it. So the absent-minded kugelach enthusiast, who easily identified the bread he lost near the bakery because one of his kugelach had fallen into the dough and gotten baked in by itself, was able to claim the rest of the set he lost there by correctly saying there were four left, which reminds us, Tan the Gemara, that minyan, the number of an item, is considered a simen, as well as the mida and mishkal, its measure and its weight. So the absent-minded kugelach enthusiast, who easily identified the bread he lost near the bakery because one of his kugelach had fallen into the dough and gone baked in by itself, was able to claim the rest of a set he lost it by correctly saying there were four left, but could not reclaim the new set he said he lost by the kugelach delivery port because a lot of kids lost their kugelach there. Which reminds us, more discusses whether makom, the place of an item, is a simon. Ramar explained that certain places, such as on a riverbank, where kegs are unloaded on boats, cannot serve as an identifying simon because we can tell the claimant that just as it happened to you that you left your kegs on the riverbank, it may have also happened to your fellow who may have left the same goods there. Daf Chav Dalet. So the simon Daf Chav Dalet is a kud, a pitcher. So here goes. While the Talmud Chacham's new pitcher, that must be on Daf Chav Dalet, kud, pitcher. While the Talmud Chacham's new pitcher was being returned to him purely based on Tvias Ayin, because he was truthful about everything except three things, which reminds us, even without a siman, lost items are returned to Talmud Chacham b'tvias eina, through his visual recognition, which only applies if he has owned them for enough time to have become familiar with them. This ruling is supported by Shmuel, who said that rabbis only deviate from the truth in three matters, b'maseches, regarding knowing a masechta which he can untruthfully deny out of modesty, b'puria, regarding his bed, meaning if he was asked if he had relations, he may untruthfully deny for the purpose of decency, u'b'ushpiza, and regarding hospitality, meaning he can untruthfully understate his host's generosity, so will not be inundated with unwanted guests. So, while the Talmud Chacham's new picture was being returned to him, purely based on Tvi'as Ayin, because he was truthful about everything, except three things, his chavrusa told someone he could keep the meat board he found at the crowded train station, which reminds us, in a braisa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar said, "Hamotzi b'sratia b'latia gadola, one who finds something in a major thoroughfare, or a large public square, u'b'chol makum shel rabim mitzuyin sham, or any place in which many people are commonly found, hari elu shelo, they belong to the finder because the owner despair of retrieving them, even if they have a simon." Five questions are posed about this ruling. So, while the Talmud Chacham's new picture was being returned to him, purely based on Tvi'as Ayin, because he was truthful about everything except three things, his chavrusa told someone he could keep the meat board he found at the crowded train station, and could even eat it, because most of the local shochtim were Jews, which reminds us that we learned that shechtim meat that was found could be eaten even in an area which is mostly Gentiles, in a case where the majority of shochtim are Jews. Daf Chaf Hei, so the Simur Daf Chaf Hei is a silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. The surprise silver anniversary party. Silver anniversary? That must be on Daf Chaf Hei. The surprise silver anniversary party arranged by the kids included games and activities such as guessing if the fruit fell from the nearby basket, which reminds us. The next Mishnah lists found items which must be announced, including a vessel with produce inside or a purse with coins inside. The Gemara infers, Ha-kli ulafan of peros, but if he found a vessel with produce in front of it, kis ulafan of maos, or a purse with coins in front of it, he may keep them because we do not assume they came from the container. This supports a braisa which says the same and adds that if some produce remains in the container, it must all be returned. So, the surprise silver anniversary party arranged by the kids included games and activities such as guessing if the fruit fell from the nearby basket, identifying which towers of coins must have been stacked intentionally, which reminds us, the Mishnah stated, Shoshimat Beyo Zeo Gavze, three coins, one upon the other, must be returned. Rabbi Yitzhak Migdala said, and was supported by Abraisa, this is only true where they're arranged like towers. Rabbi Chinna said, as the Gemara clarifies, they must be Shel Melech Echot Kein Shosh Malachim, coins of one king, which are like coins of three kings, meaning they're different diameters, with the largest on the bottom and the smallest on top, which clearly indicates an intentional arrangement. If they are of equal size, the finder keeps them, even if they're stacked, because it's possible they simply fell that way. So, the surprise silver anniversary party arranged by the kids included games and activities such as guessing if the fruit fell from the nearby basket, identifying which towers of coins must have been stacked intentionally, and if the hopping birds behind the wall may have been put there and should not be touched, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if one found young pigeons which were tied, either behind a fence or a wall, or in the paths of the field, he should not touch them. The Gemara explains that we say a person apparently hid these in these protected places, and if they're taken to be announced, the owner has no simon with which to claim them. Therefore, they should be left where they are because he may return for them. The Gemara says that their location should be a simon and answers, but medadadin. The case is birds which hop from place to place and may not have originated there. Daf Chavav. So the simon Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The soldiers from the military coup, that must be on Daf Chavav. The soldiers from the military coup, after raiding a hotel and determining that they could take the money on the table since it was left by three Gentiles who were there last, which reminds us, the mission of the previous Daf taught that money found in a house which was rented to others may be kept because the owner is unknown. The Gemara asks, Lezel Basar Basar, let us follow the last renter and assume the money is his. Manasseh and Bar Yaakov answered the house was last rented to three Gentiles, so the coins may be kept. So, the soldiers from the military coup, after raiding a hotel and determining that they could take the money on the table since it was left by three Gentiles who were there last, saw a coin fall from between two Jews walking away outside, and realizing that the owner would not despair because he would confront his friend later in Beis Din, which reminds us, Rav Nachman ruled, Ra'as Selah Shenafal Mishnayim, if someone saw a Selah fall from one of two people, he must return it because the owner does not despair of it. Since he's confident that his companion found it, he can force him to make a shvuah basin and recover his coin. His later despair when his companion will truthfully swear does not permit the coins to the finder, since Yeush Lomadas is not considered Yeush. So the soldiers from the military coup, after raiding a hotel and determining that they could take the money on the table since it was left by three Gentiles who were there last, saw a coin fall from between two Jews walking away outside, and realizing that the owner would not despair because he would confront his friend later in Basin, wondered how many averos they would transgress if they took it for themselves. Which reminds us, Rava said that if one saw a sella fall from its owner, and he took it before the owner despaired of it, with the intent to steal it over Bechulin, he transgresses all the possible prohibitions, namely, Osigzol, you shall not steal, Hashev Tishivim, and you shall surely return them, and Osucholi Hisalim, and you shall not hide from the lost article. Alright, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you want? If one saw a sella fall from between two Jews, he must return it. That's on Duff. Chavav. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we discuss whether one can take tied pigeons that are found behind a wall? That's on Duff. Chafe. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss whether simanim are deraisa or derabanan? That's on Duff. Chavzayin. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do the case of Klach Eitzel Yafos, which was brought as an attempted riot that Yeush Lomadas have Yeush? That's on Duff. Chavbeis. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do one can take money found in a home that was last rented by Gentiles? That's on Dav. Chavav. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn this machuk is regarding a last item worth a pruta, which depreciated and then appreciated, whether it must be returned? That's on Dav. Chavzayin. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we have a machuk is regarding a simon haba me'ilav, a simon which may have come about on its own, whether it's a legitimate simon? That's on Dav. Chav Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which of them that even a donkey should be returned when the owner merely provides simanim of the saddle? That's on Dav. Chav Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn? A person checks his pockets constantly, so a case of losing money would not be Yeshu Madas. That's on Dav. Chav Av. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we learn that one can return new articles to a Talmud Chochem with Tviyas Ein? That's on Dav. Chav Dalet. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is everybody. Rav Goldhar from Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.